Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Get ready. Get your Bibles out. Here comes Reverend Terry Wilson for the message today. God bless you.
Boy, he sets the bar high, don't he? You could have said anything but Reverend, couldn't you? Set the bar so high. How you guys doing? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? All right. Let's see if I can work this remote today. Oh, man. Worship was awesome, Charlie. I'm telling you. Charlie and Charlie's Angels, man. I tell you what, they never disappoint me. I love it. Some of y'all are old enough to get that. My kids are back there. What does that mean when Dad says Charlie and Charlie's Angels? Anyway, well, I'm excited to be here this morning. I thank Pastor Terry for giving me the opportunity to share. And this is one of those messages. I'll go ahead and give it a caveat emptor, buyer beware. Right? They say if you want to know what a preacher's going through, just listen to his messages. So don't judge me this morning. That's all I'm saying. But in my studies, am I on up here? Just make sure I'm good. I felt like the Lord gave me this message for me, and I'm going to share it with you. But it's for me, okay? And the reason I said, you know, Lord, I don't want to, that's irritating. Yeah, Lord ever tell you anything that's just irritating? And he's teaching Terry how the secret of being content. And I said, Lord, I don't want to share that. And here's the reason why. Maybe everything's going great in your world. Maybe you turn on the news and all you hear is just happy, 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 happy. But in my world, boy, I feel like the devil himself broke into the house and switched out all my toilet paper and Kleenex with 30 grit sandpaper. I mean, it's just one irritation after the next. You know, it's one, and then I read this thing that where Paul says over there in Philippians, he says, I have discovered the secret of being content. I don't know how y'all read that. When I read it, I was like, well, good for you, Paul. Isn't that just great on you? You know. So that was my reaction to the message. But I want to share with you this passage right here, and I'll tell you, in full disclosure, I've misread this passage my whole life. Maybe you have, maybe you've not, but I want to share it with you to give you what I have discovered in this. Where Paul says, I know what it's to be in need, and I know what it's to have plenty. And then here's the money, here's the takeaway. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Now, here again, I've always read that. Well, Paul has learned how to do something. And you know, if we read in a lot of his epistles that he's written, we know that he was in prison while he wrote it. And so he's got a lot of credibility. I mean, for a guy to be tortured, to be hurt the way he was, to be put in prison. And then, you know, over there in Ephesians, the first chapter of Ephesians, all the way down to verse 22, that's all one long sentence. It was interpreters and translators that came in after the fact to put in all the periods and to make it grammatically correct. But if you read the first chapter of Ephesians, just about three-fourths of it is all one long sentence where Paul in prison sitting there and turns into a valley girl. And he did this, and blessed God to be the Lord, the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, and blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places according to the... And he just rattled off all of these blessings that he was chosen before the foundation of the world. I mean, he is just going on, and he's sitting in prison. And then you read this where he says, I have learned the secret of being content. You got to understand something about Paul. This whole time I read in the New Testament, what did he have in his side? An irritation. He had a thorn in his side. And did he sit there and say, well, you know, I he had it because why? He kept asking God to take it away. Do you not read where he repeatedly asked, God, take this thorn, take this, if it be, take. And God said, where you're weak, Paul, I'm what? So The gentleman that's offering this admonition to us this morning has great credibility, okay? So I just want to give you that context. That this isn't someone just waxing verbosely about things they know nothing about. This guy is walking the walk, right? And he's talking the talk. Here's where I misread this whole thing this whole time, where he says, I have learned the secret to being content. Now, what did I just mispronounce? What did I just misstate? I read it this whole time. I have learned the secret to being content. That's right. I've put the word to in there my whole life. I thought Paul was saying, I've learned how to be content. And that's not what he's saying. He's saying, I've learned a secret of being content. And when I interpreted it that way, and I had that idea in mind, you know what? I have learned something in this passage in my last week. You like that? A little graphic there. I did that. He's learned this. The secret of being content is this. You will be unstoppable. When I can occupy a mindset and a heart and a temperature of I'm content, what Paul has just told us, and how do I know that? Because the next verse, the very next verse says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Now, all of a sudden, that next passage makes sense to the first passage, don't it? The secret of being content, Terry, in your business, in your marriage, in your life, is that when I can discover how to, the secret of being is I can't be stopped. You ever sat down at a table and had a great meal? And for me, it's at Capri's in Boiling Springs there, and I have my ribeye steak, bless God, and I have all the trimmings and everything. And then a waiter will come by after the fact, and what do they say? Can I tempt you with? Now, if you eat with me, you can't be. If you eat like me anyway, because boy, I've laid it all out on the field. I in the main course, you can't tempt me with anything ever. Well, what is that? I'm content. I'm full, which means I can't be tempted. And when I can't be tempted by anything, I can't be stopped. I can't be distracted. I can't be discouraged. I can't be deterred. I'm in it to win it, as Pastor John said a few weeks ago, aren't I? Aren't I? And so, well, here's the question that's now being begged. Well, if that's the secret of being content, and that is the privilege of this mindset, this attitude that I can adopt, then Paul, how do you be content? Have you not seen the news? Have you not seen what's going on? Have you not heard of COVID? Have you not heard of all of the nonsense that is in our society and in our world? Paul, don't tell us what we can have if you can't tell us how to get it. Well, now that I've interpreted that passage the correct way, it makes that whole chapter make so much more sense. Because now if we backlog a little bit, he is laying out this, I've done this, I've learned to do this, this is what I do, this is what I do. And then he gets down to, I've learned the secret of being content, and here's the secret, I can do all things. You can't stop me. You know, Pastor Terry, years ago, and I know it was years ago because I know where I was living and I know how it hit me, played that scene in that movie of Rocky where his son's out there and he's complaining to his dad about how when everybody sees me, all they do is see you. I can't get ahead in life because I'm just this, I'm being overshadowed by you. And he's just complaining and complaining and complaining. And then what did he admonish him on? He says that, I love that line, life is not about how hard you can hit, but how hard you can what? Get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Boy, that lit me up, and to this day, When I need a little, I go back to that message and just play that little passage. I'd go ahead, Rocky, go ahead and give me the Holy Spirit. Lay it on me. That's how winning is done. So this thing of contentment, I've discovered something, that there's a counterfeit to it. There is a counterfeit to contentment. The enemy offers a counterfeit. Sometimes we ourselves offer a counterfeit. I was serving in a different denomination a few years ago, and I had one of the head people of that particular organization come to me and had a problem because, in scholarly terms, you're a non-cessationist. And, you know, we believe in cessationism here. You know, you believe that prophecies for today. We don't. You know, and we had that dialogue. And I basically went down to this. This is the last. I said, well, let me ask you this. Do you believe there's false prophets in the world today? Activating right now. Do you believe in false? Yes, yes. And then he gave me a litany of all the people he felt like were false prophets, and that's why they don't like prophecy to start with. And I was like, why in the world would they be a counterfeit to something that's not genuine? You got to have something to counterfeit, right? Otherwise, the scam don't work. You got to have the true thing to have the alternative thing for it to actually be deceptive. Otherwise, it's not even. And so anyway, that tells me that if there is a biblical way of being content, there is an unbiblical way of being complacent. The alternative to being content is being complacent. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means rather than being satisfied by him and who he is and what he has done for me, I am just settling for where I'm at in life. I'm not going to try. What's the use? Here's an old saying. Hey, does anybody use this? It is what it. It do what it. One of my sales reps, I said, how's it going? It is what it is, bro. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, hey, it's just going to do what it do. And I was like, well, yes, there are some things we can't control, but we leave it all on the field and we're satisfied that he's going to work it out for our good. Are we positive about a situation or are we just passive about it? It's just going to do what it do, you know? Or are we fervently in prayer of seeking God, seeking his word, seeking his way and saying, send me, Lord. I'll take care of this. I'll take the bruise on this. I'll take the hit on this. I'll be the one that, you know, that takes the responsibility on this, Lord. Send me. Or am I just like that? Just gotta trust the sovereignty of God. I guess he didn't want it. I've used that as an escape clause sometimes. Me and Terry, it's a running joke. I say, hey, sometimes you just gotta let the sovereignty of God. It's my sort of spiritualizing not getting involved. Not doing my part, you know, putting it off on God, in other words. Am I in a growth attitude or am I in a maintaining attitude? Am I in a growth attitude or am I in a maintaining? If I'm content, I'm satisfied, I'm positive, and I know that all things are working out for my good. I am growing. He's still working on me to make me what? What I ought to be, right? But if I'm just maintaining, what I'm doing is like, well, you know, this is who I am. This is how we are. This is my people. This is where I'm from. This is, and I get into this ideology of, well, I can't do any better. This is how I was born. This is who I am. This is how my people are. I was born on that side of the tracks. This is how we always have been. This is how we always been thought of in the community, right? That is complacency. Because here's the thing. The biblical reality is I do not have the authority to call myself anything. But God himself has identified me and called me and told me who I am, what I am, and what I am to be. And it is idolatry to say anything else. I don't have the right to say who, what, when, where, and how I am. Because I have been bought with a price. I am not my own. I am who he said he is. So when I say, as Paul says, I can do all things, that's not me bragging. That's just me agreeing with what someone else said. And if you got a problem with that, take it up with him. It ain't, you know, I'm not flexing. I'm not flexing. I'm agreeing that, that this is the reality and this is the truth. So here's Paul's journey to contentment. He lays out six things, and we're going to get into it real quick, and then we're going to go do what we do at lunchtime. Number one, we need to delight in this dirty word called discipline. Ooh. You telling me for me to be content, I've got to delight in being disciplined? All right. We need to have timely tenderness. Timely tenderness. There's a time for tough love, and there's a time for what? Whoa, she may be weary. Those young girls do get weary. You can try a little tenderness, right? Otis, Prophet Otis. Come on now. Try a little we got to learn to leave. Pastor Terry's got a running joke. Says, all right, show us how you leave. When I've said enough, he says, you showed us how you came, now show us how you leave. Yeah, I've always liked that one myself. This is what I look like leaving. You got to learn to leave. You got to be. You can't be controlled by understanding. That one right there, put a note on that, say that's Terry Wilson's problem, pray for him. Controlled by understanding. Got to learn how to focus. And not only that, we got to learn how to practice. Practice? We're talking about practice? Yeah, we're talking about practice. We're not talking about a game, we're talking about practice. Some of y'all get that. Yeah. But that's Paul's journey to contentment. How do I know that? Go to up just a little bit to verse 4 in chapter 4 of Philippians in your Bible. What does it say? Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Now, Terry, where did you get delight and discipline from that? Well, he didn't say rejoice in your salvation, your Savior. He didn't say rejoice in Christ Jesus. He didn't say rejoice in your Father God. What did he say? Rejoice in the Lord always. When the Holy Spirit brings out in Scripture, rejoice in Christ Jesus, he's signifying to you, rejoice in your salvation and the anointed one that brought you your salvation. When he says, rejoice in your Father, what he's saying is rejoice in this family that you've been adopted to. Now you are a part. You're no longer outside, but you're inside. But when he signifies the Lord, the Master, what is he identifying himself as in that passage? The boss. The boss. Now, my kids have been my kids, and they've also been my employees at times. When I'm dad, they're part of the family. When I'm boss, why weren't you here on time? Why didn't you get this out like I asked you to? Why did you respond that way to this client? It's a different relationship, isn't it? And so the first thing I've got to learn, if I want to be content and not complacent, is I got to really, really rejoice, delight. It means to pitch a party, get happy about it. Understand that when he is disciplining me, when he is setting standards in front of me, when he is saying, you got to modify your behavior, he's not doing it to be some draconian overlord that is just trying to hurt me, but he's actually looking the long distance. See, I'm looking right now, man, I'd love that donut. Donuts for dads. And he's trying to get me to delight in the fact I don't need that donut because that donut signifies another half hour on the elliptical. Right? One or the other. One of the things I've had to learn, and it's just through maturity, and I'm not mature. I'm not calling myself mature. I'm saying I'm more mature than what I was the other day. I want to clarify that. Is this, and I don't know when it takes place. For some of you, it takes place in your early teens. For some of us, it took place in our 20s. Others, it took place in our 30s. Some of us are in our 80s and 90s and still hadn't got it. So I don't know when this part comes along, but it just finally occurred to me in my mid-40s that doing things the right way is hard. Suffering the consequences of not doing things the right way is hard. Choose your hard. There is no easy. But I have lied to myself, well, because this donut tastes so good now, I don't have to worry about it. Because this donut, because this, and then all of a sudden, years and pounds later, you know, pushing away from the table for Terry Wilson is hard. But all the health issues I was having to start to endure, that was hard too. And a coach told me, choose your heart, Terry. That's all you got to do, choose your heart. And when I learned to do that, I learned to be okay with saying, for some of you guys, and I don't like you, you can eat whatever you want. I see a commercial on TV during a sports game and I pick up 5 pounds. It ain't right. It ain't right. But that's my cross to bear, right? But we have to delight in discipline. Number two, timely tenderness. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Why? I'm telling you what, he's closer today than he's ever been before in time. How do I know that? Sometimes, look over in Luke 21. He gives out 25 in Luke 21. He says this, now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift your heads because your redemption draws nigh. And then in 2 Timothy 3:2, he says people will be lovers of themselves. You ever notice that? People care more about themselves than others right now. He says this, people will be covetous. People will be boasters. People will be proud. People will be blasphemers. People will be disobedient to their parents. People will be unthankful. People will consider nothing as sacred anymore. People will be unloving. People will be unforgiving. People will slander others with no second thought. People have no self-control. They'll be unusually cruel. People have no interest in what is good anymore. They'll betray friends. People will be reckless. People will be puffed up with pride. People will be puffed up. 2 Timothy 3:4 says people will be puffed up with pride. What comes before pride? People will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. People will be a form of godliness but deny God. And the 20th signal you'll have is people will be take advantages of weaker people and women. Boy, I tell you what, what they're doing and trying to destroy women's sports is awful. People will always be learning but not coming to knowledge of truth. Have you been around anybody today that knows a lot but doesn't know truth? Whew! I mean, I've never been around so many articulate, foolish people. I mean, really are articulate in nonsense. I mean, can really make a profound, articulate argument about pap. I mean, just amazing to me. People will have a fake faith and depraved mind. 2 Timothy 3:8 says that. People will not progress in fake faith and fall miserably. That's what's going to happen in 2 Timothy 3:9. All of these things Paul is telling Timothy, these are the signs that you know that your redemption draweth nigh. In other words, the time is close. The time, and you know what? We're living in that close time, are we not? And if Paul says back then to let your tenderness, your gentleness be evident, there's evidence, put the evidence in the car. In other words, you're carrying around evidence that I have the love of Christ. Now is the time, is it not? And it's one thing to know the truth. There's another thing to be able to convey the truth of where it can be received. And what he's saying here is we have to speak the truth, but what do we got to do it in? What's the context in? We got to do it in love. How do I know that? Not only is it biblical in other books, but we move right along and we see that we have to learn to leave. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. How do we leave something? This is very difficult. For me, folks, I don't know about you, but you tell people all the time, you just need to leave. Has anyone ever said, you just got to leave it with the Lord? Has anyone ever said that to you? That's easy to say, isn't it? Oh, it rolls off the tongue. Just leave it with the Lord. We'll sing it. Leave it there. Leave it there. But how? You know, I mentally can say, Lord, take this. But there's still residue on the inside of me that I'm still, nah, I left it there, and then I'm dragging it back with me to the seat. So how do we leave it with the Lord? You have to pivot your prayer. As soon as I leave it with the Lord, here's what I have to do. Because how many know sometimes your emotions aren't in sync with reality? I emotionally might still be carrying it, but in truth, I gave it to someone else. So I don't have right to it anymore. But see, I've got a lizard brain up here that has to be spoken to. And I've got to wash it with the word. And because my lizard brain, my brain that just, you know, just is sort of stuck on stupid, as my grandfather used to say, I still want to carry things that I said I would leave. So what do I have to do? I have to change my internal dialogue. I have to stop saying, Lord, I need you to take this from me. Lord, I need you. This is what's going on. Lord, please do something. I have to stop saying that, and I have to start saying, thank you, Lord, for working this out. Thank you for the answers that you're going to be providing. Thank you for opening my eyes today, Lord. Thank you for saying, I have to, because emotionally, it's a habit, right? It's a muscle memory. I'm still used to doing this. Right? And I got to stop doing that and start doing this. Right? But the only way I can do it is you have to rehearse it. It's going to feel very, very clinical. Sometimes I don't even feel like some of the words I'm saying at times when I have to do this. Have you ever said something he's like, and internally you're like, don't feel sincere. And the reason is because emotionally, your emotions haven't caught up with the reality of what you by faith are proclaiming and believing God to do. But here's the thing. We walk by and not by. And emotions are nothing but just visual representations in our mind of the way things are. So I can't walk by my feelings and what I see my feelings are being like. I have to walk by, God said it would do it, and I left it there. Thank you, Lord. And here's the other thing by thanking him for the answers and the solutions and what he's going to do for me. It literally positions my heart and my mind to now be receptive for these answers. You know, there's a lot of times my prayers are answered because I finally saw the answer right in front of me where it had been the whole time. But it wasn't until I started thanking God for showing me, you're going to open my eyes today, Lord. Open my eyes, Lord. Thank you for opening my eyes. Thank you for blocking my eyes and not getting me distracted and allowing me to be distracted by other things. Thank you, Lord. It's taking that posture that will help us learn to leave. Next is controlled by understanding. I told y'all to earmark that because that's Terry Wilson's problem, right? Okay. Y'all know how to pray for me now. He says this in Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word transcends means you're not going to understand. It's not going to be within your capacity to reason, your capacity to understand, your capacity to understand. Because here's the thing, if I can understand how I can feel better about a situation, then that's not the peace of God. That's me not being content. That's me being what? Complacent. And just accepting a false sense of contentment. I'm just being complacent with this issue because I've done it on my own. True contentment comes from knowing God is in control. God is working this out. God said he would do what he said he would do. God has never been a liar. God was faithful yesterday, today, and forever. He's always had my back. He's never let me down. And he's always done it in ways I didn't foresee it happening that way. And that irritates me. But he says to please him, you have to have what? It's faith that pleases him. If I could foresee how this thing's going to work out, then it wasn't orchestrated by God to start with, was it? But that's how we can have peace that transcends understanding. You want to hear something that I don't understand that I just discovered? I shared this with Pastor Terry and Brenda last week, and they already heard of the study, but there's a 30-year-old study that came out, and it was this college over in Japan, and then it was backed up by Stanford. And what they're trying to figure out is how positive energy, and when I say energy, let me rephrase, positive words, positive thoughts, positive thinking towards something actually can manifest in the physical. Did you know that is a proven science? There's actually a science on that in metaphysics. And y'all probably heard this study. It just blew my mind. But they take these two cups of water that came from the same spigot, as we say in the South. I don't know what they say in there. Out in Irvine, they probably call it faucet. But in Rolfton, we say spigot. So they take two glasses of water, and they put one in one room, the other in the other room. And they've done this multiple times and get the same results. In one room, they want those people in there to be negative about that water, speak evil about that water, curse that water, blame that water for everything. And so they're in there saying, you know, you've drowned people. People have died because of you. You know, all the hurricanes and all the floods and this and that. And you're nothing but a life taker. I hate you. I wish you wasn't in this room. And in the other room, they're saying, you're the essence of life. I can't live without you. I'm so thankful that you're here. I'm so thankful that you can quench my thirst. I am so thankful that you're a gift. You know, they've done this multiple times. You know what happens? They take those water samples, they freeze them, and then they analyze them. And the water that's hated on crushes under pressure quicker than the water that was loved on. The water that was hated on, the crystals don't form right and it becomes this gray, blobby. It don't even look good. And the water that's loved on, it crystallizes correctly. That the water that's loved on, that performs on, and every metric measured, performs better than the water it was hated on. That transcends my understanding. I don't understand that, but it's true. Now, you say, well, Terry, that's great, but what's that got to do with me? You're 75% water. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you say about yourself. Be careful what you say about your spouse. Be careful what you say about your children. Be careful what you say about the Lord. Be careful. You're not hurting anybody but yourself. I'm telling you what, that whole thing, you sow what a man says, so he reapeth. Whoo! And listen, I don't have to understand, you know, what's that song that says, I can't explain it, but I have obtained it. Jesus, your love, it's so good. I don't understand how that works, but it does. And the Bible says there's power of life and death in what? What I say. And I'm telling you right now, I speak life. I speak life to every one of you guys. I speak blessings. I speak the fact that you're not going to be complacent this week. You're going to learn contentment because you're going to make discipleship the thing that you're after. That you're going to have all of these things that Paul's laying out. I got to learn to focus real quick. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, what in all these things, if it's praiseworthy, what does it say? Think about these things. Well, dadgummit, that's just going to change what I watch on TV. That's going to change what I read. That's going to change the conversations I entertain. But if I'm going to be obedient to that, because here's the final thing. And then, whatever you have learned to receive or heard from me in this, or seen me and put into. You mean not only has this got to be a philosophical idea that undergirds my thinking, but it's actually got to be a practical thing I got to do? You better believe it. Because the only word that works is the word you put to work. Until you put feet and boots on the ground, it's just philosophy. It's just an idea. But he says this, whatever you learn, put it into practice. The way the word of God works is it's put to work. And that is what Paul is saying is the secret of being content. Terry Wilson, you can be content. You don't have to be complacent. I can be content. Even if all the toilet paper and Kleenex has been turned into sandpaper, I can be content. I can look on the world I live in today and say, no, it ain't what it should be. But you know what? I'm in the world, and I'm not of the world. I'm from a different place, and I can enjoy life. I can enjoy life right here, right now, no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what the situation is, I can enjoy it. This coming July, the first Sunday in July, we're going to start a class over here, and it's going to be talking about the most impactful but dangerous prayer a believer can pray. The most impactful but dangerous prayer a believer can pray. I call it the prayer of promotion. If you want to see your marriage promoted, if you want to see your business promoted, if you want to see your life go to the next level, I'm going to go ahead and give you the secret right now and where the prayer is. So you can understand what you're getting into. It's in Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24. That is a prayer of David. And that prayer right there has done more for my personal life and walk of faith and learning to be more and more what he has called me to be than any other prayer I've ever prayed. And I'm telling you, when you pray, let me tell you something. Don't pray that prayer unless you're willing for him to answer it. Because let me tell you something about my God. He is faithful. And he answers prayers. Amen. I love you guys. Be blessed in your comings and your going. And be content. Let's stand and pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you that you have offered us the gift and contentment, even in the face of everything that would push us in a different direction. Thank you that we are wise to the enemy's schemes, that we are no longer going to be walking and complacent in life, but we'll be content in you, Lord, and that we know that you are working all things together for our good, that we're going to be blessed in our comings and we'll be blessed in our goings. Everything we touch will be blessed, Lord, as you have growing us up more and more. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.